All right, let's take our Bibles this evening, if we may, and turn to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 78, our Bibles, Psalms chapter 78. As we think about our school year and the dedication of our school year and what lies ahead, I think about all the school years we've had, over 40 of them now here at Victory Christian Academy, Victory Baptist Church, and I think about other schools that are functioning and have a ministry and they're effective. And I ask myself the question, what exactly is the purpose of a school? What is the purpose of the school year? What are we seeking to do in a Christian school that has an advantage over other school systems and other school and educational options? And in order to see this, I'm going to read seven verses out of Psalm 78, give you an illustration, and then give you a simple outline for the evening to carry home with you tonight. Here's what we find, first of all, and the title of the message tonight is how to help our children set their hope in God. How to help our children set their hope in God. If you were in Sunday school this morning, you heard Brother Thomas minister from 2 Timothy, the last epistle that was written by the Apostle Paul. And in chapter 3, he talks about the perilous times, and he talks about the dangers that are going to be faced in those end days. And the Apostle Paul, as a spiritual father to his son Timothy, his spiritual son, encourages him to not fear because of these things, but to stand fast in them. And I think it's very important for us to recognize today that a lot of the things happening around us today that shake adults shake young people even more. A lot of things that may cause us to weaken in our hope weaken young people even more. But God gives us a pattern here in Psalm 78 that we can help our children set their hope in God. And we want to take a look at that as we study this passage tonight. Psalm 78, verse 1 says this, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. That, verse 6, the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." Shall we pray? Our Father, your word is open before us, and we pray now that our hearts would be open to receive it. And as we receive it, we put it to practice in your name. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. It's kind of a funny thing. This past week, as we had staff devotions Monday through Friday, almost every day I had some illustration from Canada. And of course, that was fresh in our mind after just spending those days away and having the opportunity to be with the Youngs in Saskatoon, as well as having opportunity to be with the Edwards over in the Calgary area. And I was thinking about that when I was doing some preparation for this message tonight, because I thought, you know, there's really a Canadian illustration that I'd like to use here this evening. I don't have all the great details of it, but I did get the gist of it one night when we were in our hotel room. We were in Calgary, and the weather was not real good. We couldn't get out, so we turned on the television. They had cable there, and we saw one of these programs where they were looking at an overview of an Olympics that had been held. And apparently it was a Canadian Olympics. It didn't have the flavor of being an international Olympics. And I didn't get the first part of the program, so I really couldn't catch the full gist of it. But the gist that I did catch from it was this. As they were starting their Olympic Games and their competition, believing it was in Canada, they had a situation where they had the passing of the torch from one person to the other till they finally lighted the candle where the event was going to be held. And as they were passing the torch, they did something I thought was kind of a unique thing. From what I could catch in the way of the drift of it, is they had the older person first, who had had some great Olympic accomplishment, passing the torch to the next oldest, and then to the next oldest, and to the next oldest, and on down. As I mentioned, I missed the first part, but I believe the people in that segment that I could see were easily over 60 years old. So there was quite a heritage there represented as they were passing that torch on. And as they were passing the torch, they would talk about what that person had accomplished and what event they had gotten the medal in and things of that nature. And again, I'm so sorry that I'm foggy there, but I was distracted and I was watching half-heartedly, and I don't know Canadian sports that well or anything. And so as a result, I didn't get all the pieces together, but I could catch the drift of it. And the drift of it was, here are those who have accomplished something, and they're passing the torch to this one who accomplished something, and this one, and this one, and this one. And the part that impressed me the most is when it got down close to lighting that dish that they had there, they were actually down into teenagers and young teenagers that were catching that torch and passing it on to the other and passing it on to the other as they recited what kind of things they'd accomplished in their Olympic career. Now, why do I give that illustration here this evening? I give that illustration here this evening because I believe this psalm is teaching that very concept, that we who are older have the opportunity to pass the torch to the next generation, and then them to the next generation, and then them to the next generation, and on it goes, and the flame continues to burn for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we ask ourselves the question tonight, what hope is there in this torch continuing to burn? What hope is there in passing this torch on to generation after generation and seeing it continue? Because to be honest with you, in many circles tonight, fundamental Christian circles, that torch is being snuffed out. That torch is being dropped. That torch is being ignored. There's a desire to hand the torch to the next generation, but the next generation is not picking it up. There's a desire to see the next generation continue on for the Lord, but they're not continuing on for the Lord. As I mentioned to you earlier, and it's no secret, and many Christian schools that have had wonderful reputations over the years from many good, sound churches are now closed. The schools are no longer there. The torch is not made it to the next generation. It's been lost. It's been snuffed. It's been put out. And as a result, the advantages of having the Christian education are not there now in that ministry. And in many of the ministries where the school closed, then eventually the church actually closed. So there's not even a fire, a flame there now with the church ministry. So we ask ourselves the question and say, all right, Lord, you've been very good to us at Victory Baptist Church, over 60 years of church ministry passing the spiritual torch, and over 40 years of Christian school ministry passing the spiritual torch. Now, we're starting a new Christian school year. What can we see in Scripture to encourage us to be able to continue to pass the torch down to the next generation? And I believe there's four or five things that we can note very quickly tonight. And they're outlined right according to the passage, starting at Psalm 78 and beginning at verse 1. When you take a look at this passage of Scripture, you're going to see, first of all, this point. We must be, in order to pass the torch on, excellent listeners. We must be, in order to pass the spiritual torch on, excellent listeners. Listen to verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. There's two expressions here that really stand out. The idea of give ear is this. It is the idea of listening with the intent to obey. Do you know there's a whole lot of things that we hear that we really don't listen to? Can you say amen there? There's really a whole lot of things we hear that we never intend in following up on. We are barraged with noise today. We are barraged with people saying things today. And the truth of the matter is, if you really want to listen to somebody, you pretty much have to stop and you have to what? You have to focus on that. Oftentimes we'll hear ourselves saying, for example, what did that person say? Or what was that I just heard? Because we weren't focused in and we didn't hear it. God is telling us if we're going to pass the spiritual torch down to our children and give them the hope that we have, we need to be good listeners, and we need to, verse 1, give ear, listen with the intent of hearing what's being said. The second part of that is this. You'll notice it says, incline your ears to the words. Now, the word incline means this, which I think is a cute definition of it. It means the idea of stretching your ears. And you say, now, wait a minute, how do we stretch our ears? Do we just kind of pull them and just snug at them and stretch them? No, not that way. It's more the idea of an example. If you've ever been out in the woods and tried to sneak up, for example, on a deer that's grazing in a field, you'll see that deer at a distance, and you'll say to yourself, I wonder how close I can get to it. Now, you may be a hunter, and you may be wanting to get close for the purpose of eating that deer later. You may be a photographer, and you want to get close with the idea of shooting a shot to show your friends that deer later. Or you may be somebody who's just curious. I've done this before, and say, I wonder how close I can get before that deer runs away. And as you're working your way in very quietly, and you're just sneaking your way toward it, you'll notice that deer occasionally might just stop, and you stop. And then the deer will still go back grazing, and you'll get a little bit closer, and you'll stop. But there's a point where you'll get so close that deer will raise its head, and it will what? Incline its ears. Its ears will actually stand up and stand out, and they'll be listening to what they heard or thought they heard. That is the word that's used here in this verse of Scripture. As the psalmist is writing, he is saying this. He is saying, if we want to pass our torch of spiritual hope onto our children, we need to, first of all, be excellent listeners. We need to give ear to what is being said with the intent to obey. And we need to stretch our ears. And we need to, as a deer in the forest, listen up. In fact, sometimes you can use that illustration also with the idea of somebody sitting at the edge of their seat to listen. You're saying something and they're so excited they kind of move up and they're turning their head and they're listening with interest. That's the idea of the word here. And let me be honest with you, and I want to be very honest with you, and that is oftentimes in the church, people like us forget that we've got to be good listeners. We sleep in church. Oh yeah, we do. We find ourselves letting our mind drift in church. Oh yes, we do. We find ourselves letting what we hear go in one ear and out the other and wonder why it doesn't have an impact on us or an impact on the next generation. Oh, yes, we do. We preachers up here behind the pulpit aren't blind. But you want to know what God says? If we want to pass hope onto the next generation, if we want to see the spiritual heritage of our country continue, then we've got to be, number one, excellent listeners. We have to have our ears tuned with the idea that we want to hear so we can obey. We want to have our ears raised up so that we can catch every sound that we can and let it come to pass and work in our life. Why is that? Because of our second point tonight. Not only do we need to be excellent listeners, but number two, we need to be excellent learners. And verse 2 brings this out. Listen to what it says. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. This is the idea of being a learner. The parable, that is a teaching device. You all know different definitions for the word parable, but in essence it means a story that you can understand, but it's got a spiritual meaning to it. And you've got to think about it. The story is given, the sower in the field, for example, and then the application is given of a spiritual nature, the word of God being sown amongst people. The idea, too, in verse 2 also, the second idea, is dark sayings of old. What are dark sayings of old? Those are things that you just have to stop and think about. There are things that God says, now, wait a minute, I want you to listen to what I'm saying, but now I want you to stop for a minute, and I want you to learn what I'm saying, and the way I want you to learn that is by you thinking it through. No, I didn't give it to you spoon-fed. I gave it to you with a little bit of a twist to it. I gave it to you with a little bit of thought to it, so that you got to stop and say, now, wait a minute, what is this saying? Thomas brought this out this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that need not be what? Ashamed. We're not only to be excellent listeners, but we're also to be excellent learners. And as we're excellent listeners and excellent learners, then we'll manifest in our life excellent leaders. Where do we see that? Well, we see that in verse 3. Here's the leadership idea. It says this, which we have heard and know, and our fathers have told us. Which we have heard and know, and our fathers told us. The psalmist is simply saying this: my father was a good listener in verse 1. My father was a good learner in verse 2. And my father then became a good leader in verse 3 and taught me these things that he had listened and learned and led me so that I can listen and learn them too. You know, a Christian school is a great ministry. Can I hear an amen there? But it is not a substitute for a home. A Christian school is a great ministry. Can I hear an amen there? But it's not a substitute for a godly father who will take the role of leadership and spiritually lead his family. And you can only do that when you're a good what? Verse 1, listener. And you're a good what? Verse 2, learner. And then what are you? Verse 3, you become a good leader. Right there in verse 3 it says, which our fathers have told us. Now, with that in mind, those three things, and you can see we're moving quickly through them because the hour's getting late tonight. But as you think about this, you say, okay, how can we have this spiritual torch passed on to our generation, or excuse me, to our children from generation to generation? And the first thing is, we must be excellent listeners. The second thing, we must be excellent learners. Third thing, we must be excellent leaders. And then I believe the fourth thing, which may be even the most important, is this: we must be excited about our spiritual legacy. We must be excited about our spiritual legacy. What's the word excited mean? The word excited means this: a feeling of eager enthusiasm and the idea of an interest in. And watch how verses 4 and 5 develop that thought for us. Verse 4, we will not hide them from their children. The idea of hide means to put them in some place in the back. Idea of hide is the idea of refusing to make something know. It's hidden. But he says, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. Verse 5, for he established the testimony in Jacob, appointed law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Now, I read those two verses together, and it brings up the idea of we must be excited about our spiritual legacy. And the way we have a spiritual legacy is this. Number one, the word legacy means to give a gift. Now, when you normally think about a legacy, you think about a financial gift, don't you? Somebody gave me an amount of money when they passed on. But listen to the definition of legacy. It is a gift by will, that is written out in a will, especially of money or other personal property. It's a legacy. It is a gift by will, especially of money or other personal property. I know sometimes when people pass away, they'll say, for example, that painting in the living room of my home, I want to make sure that goes to so-and-so. The tractor that I've had for years on the farm, I want to make sure it goes to so-and-so. The collection of guns that I have, I want this one to go to this one to go to this one, so-and-so. And you know, sometimes those personal property items are even more precious and important than the amount of money that's given. Can I hear an amen there? In the Christian realm, what is the most personal property that we can share with the next generation? The riches that we have in Christ Jesus. Our salvation and our truths that we have learned from God's word. Watch this. When you take a look at verse 5, it talks about works. And when you take a look, when you take a look at verse 4, it talks about the works of God. And when you take a look at 5, it talks about the words of God. And the most excellent legacy that we should be excited in sharing with our children are the works of God, verse 4, and the words of God, verse 5. He talks about the works very specifically at the end of that verse when he says, and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. And when he talks about the words of God, he uses three words for it. He says in verse 5, establish a testimony, number 1, verse 5, appointed a law, number 2, in Israel. Number 3, which he commanded our fathers in verse 5. And then he says that they should make them known unto their children. What make them what? Make the testimony, make the law, and make the commandment known unto their children by their words and by their speech and their teaching. Isn't that wonderful? And so let me ask you a question tonight. As we think about the school year, we think about the Christian school, we think about our life, we think about taking the spiritual torch and passing it on from the older generation down to the younger generation, let me ask you this question. Are you an excellent listener? Are you an excellent learner? Are you an excellent leader? And are you excited about your spiritual legacy that you're sharing with the next generation when you rehearse the works of God and when you teach them the words of God? I hope so. Because this brings us to our next point. And the next point is in verse 6. We must encourage our children to lead from behind. We need to encourage our children to lead from behind. Now, actually, the first title I put with this point was this. We must encourage our children to take the baton or torch and pass it on. But I like the idea of leading from behind. You'll see why in just a moment. Look at verse 6. It says that the generation to come, that's the one behind us, might know them, even that is the works and words of God, even the children which should be born. That's the generation behind the generation that's behind this generation. Did you get that? We heard a testimony tonight about someone who came to know Christ not because of her father, not because of her grandfather, but because of her, what? Great-grandfather. Isn't that amazing? And so what do we find here? That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. So as we have opportunity to be the leaders with this generation, we are helping that generation be also the leaders for the what? For the next generation. Yes, they're behind us, but they're still leaders. Boy, you can see that when you walk down the halls of a Christian school, can't you? Or any school. You hear about the high school students, you hear about the junior high students. Boy, what an impact they have on our elementary students. They not only have an impact on each other, but they have an impact on others that come along. And the younger ones are oftentimes looking up to the older ones. When we had our school in Marysville, Ohio, we used to have what was called the Paul and Timothy set up. Every quarter, we would change the students around. We would take an older student and call him the Paul, and take one or two younger students and call them the Timothy. At the end of every school day, they would clean the school themselves. We didn't have a cleaning crew. They cleaned the school. They had different jobs to do. So the Paul would take his two Timothys, and they would go ahead and clean the school. When we go out, because we were a small school, about 50 students, we'd go out and play activities. And when we played activities, we played them Paul and Timothy. And that way we could all play together. For example, we'd play kickball. And the kickball would be like this. The Paul would kick the ball, and the Timothy would have to run the bases. Or the Timothy would kick the ball, and the Paul would have to run the bases. All kinds of little combinations like that. And it was amazing to see those who were behind us become leaders for those who had just been born, or eventually those that would be what? Born. That's passing the torch of the spiritual heritage. And that's what we see in this passage of Scripture. Give, O ear, my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. There is the idea of listening. I will open my mouth in a parable and utter dark sayings of old. That's learning. Which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. That's leadership. Which we will then not hide from them and their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and the wonders of works that he had done. And number two, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, and he commanded our fathers that they should make them, the words, known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. And then lastly, we see in verse 7, that they might set their what? That they might set their hope in God. Yes, I believe God has given us in Scripture a pattern for being able to pass the spiritual torch from generation to generation. And I believe there's a great advantage in a Christian school ministry that is run properly to be able to enhance the passing of that torch from generation to generation to generation. You know, there's another illustration that, I don't know how many of you have ever had experience with it, but there's also the illustration of passing the baton in a relay race. And you know, that looks very simple. I can remember when I was in track and I was a high jumper and I didn't like to run races, so I sought to run the shortest one I could. And so I got involved in a relay race so that I only have to run a short distance. And I thought, well, that's a piece of cake. You just run so many yards and pass it on. The other guy runs so many yards. Next thing you know, you got a good time in your things or whatever. Boy, did I learn that that was tough. I learned, number one, that it was really tough when you're running to get that baton in a position in your hand and hold it tight enough that there be enough of it extended so that the person receiving it could get it. And when I was on the receiving end, I realized it wasn't such a simple thing as just hold your hand out there. I mean, you had to really know what you were doing, and you had to make sure when you felt that thing that you grabbed that thing, because the guy passing it off to you is going to let it go. And when you think about this and you think about the Christian heritage and the Christian school and the hope in the future and passing on the baton, passing on the torch, you got to remember that the person has to be equipped as a listener and as a learner and as a leader in being able to get that baton out there where it could be caught a hold of. But you also recognize that the person who is going to receive it has to be willing to have their hand back there ready to respond and grab it. And as we're seeing today, I'm not being a bleak prophet, I'm just being a realist. There are many in the generation today that have dropped the baton. They've dropped it. Statistics are showing more and more of Christian trained and raised young people who are walking away from the things of God. Not just the church service, not just serving and being a missionary, but they're just walking away from it. I don't need God. I don't need anything to do with Him. I can live a life apart from Him and be fine. They're dropping the baton. And in the process of dropping the baton, that's where you're seeing the schools close, and that's where you're seeing the churches close, and that's where you're seeing a big difficulty, because the torch isn't being passed from generation to generation. The baton isn't being handed off properly and received properly from generation to generation. So please don't just fluff these verses off. Be an excellent listener. Be an excellent learner. Don't let the dark saying scare you. Be an excellent leader, especially you fathers, take charge. And be excited about the legacy you're sharing as you share the works and the words of God. And then be sure that you encourage your children to lead from behind, even to the generation that has not yet been born. That's what we seek to do in the Christian school. And that's why I say, today is the hottest place in the battle. Let's pray.